Before we start, can you tell us a little bit about your, what the focus of your research and your academic interests have been over the years?
Sure. Thank you very much, Dr. Mago, for inviting me to speak today. And I think this is a very important topic. And there's some new hope for helping people with tardive dyskinesia. In my background, I've been interested in movement disorders in patients with psychiatric conditions for my entire career, beginning as a resident. I was interested in sort of the neurology or the movement disorder side of people with severe mental illness.
Yeah.
And so I've been very interested in particularly in movement disorders that occur as side effects of medications, particularly antipsychotic medications, because that was a problem even within a few years after those drugs were developed in the 1950s.
Yeah.
So I first became interested in, curious about neuroleptic malignant syndrome, which of course is a very severe acute reaction to antipsychotic drugs. And I think we've made a lot of progress in accepting and understanding that disorder. But tardive dyskinesia, which is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, as a late onset and persistent movement disorder, was also something I was interested in from the earliest days, and it was a great concern, of course, in the field. But even more broadly, I think there may be, apart from the practical issue of how to manage neurologic side effects of antipsychotic drugs, I think movement disorders in patients, particularly with schizophrenia, may have even broader implications in terms of the pathophysiology and the neurophysiology of conditions like schizophrenia. So it's a fascinating field and a very practical clinical problem as well.
Right. And my understanding is that you've done a lot of research and are very extensively published related to different movement disorders caused by psychiatric medications.
Yes. Part of my interest has been to, study in clinical trials and kind of help people learn more about these disorders, which I think are very, very important in the management of people with psychiatric conditions.
In the famous Katie study, you were one of the investigators in the Katie study for schizophrenia, and I believe you wrote a paper related to movement disorders in the Katie study.
Yes, we were really proud to be one of the sites involved in the study of the new medications for people with schizophrenia in the Katie study. I thought that was a very landmark study. And our interest particularly, and we had the opportunity to look back at the data in terms of how people with schizophrenia in the Katie study were treated with antipsychotics fared when they had tardive dyskinesia. What was the effect of randomizing them to the newer antipsychotic drugs and the impact on both their schizophrenia and their tardive dyskinesia as well? I think that had some interesting outcomes that we can talk about.
Right. So before we talk more about the treatment, identification and treatment of tardive dyskinesia, for our younger colleagues, like, is tardive dyskinesia still a problem? Like, isn't it much less has the problem gone away because we have second generation antipsychotics, or do you think TD is still a problem?
Yeah, I think TD is still a problem. In fact, it always has been a problem. It's very curious and a little bit unfortunate that tardive dyskinesia over the last two decades has sort of fallen out of the mainstream. And partly that's because I believe that tardive dyskinesia is less often a consequence of treatment with the newer antipsychotic drugs. So that's a good thing. You have to go back and realize that one of the major factors in fueling the development of these new drugs back in the 1990s and so on, was because of the concern about tardive dyskinesia.
Yeah.
The older drugs were causing so many neurologic problems and tardive dyskinesia, the field understood that was a serious problem, something had to be done about it, and with commercial input, these new drugs were developed that actually accomplished what we set out to do in terms of reducing the risk of acute neurologic problems and also tardive dyskinesia. But unfortunately, as a result of that, I think the field sort of lost interest and neglected tardive dyskinesia. But it remained a problem and still is a problem today for several reasons. First of all, there are tens of thousands of people who were treated with the older drugs and are still treated with the older drugs.
Yes.
You know, drugs like haloperidol are excellent antipsychotic drugs, as you know, and are still useful for some patients. So, you know, there are thousands of people with tardive dyskinesia for whom, you know, there really wasn't any treatment in the last couple of decades. And I think a lot of clinicians, as well as patients, were left in the lurch, not knowing what to do about these patients who had tardive dyskinesia as a legacy of treatment with the older drugs. And the other issue is, although the newer drugs, there's fairly good evidence that the newer drugs are less likely to cause tardive dyskinesia, the risk is probably not zero. So even though the risk is lower than with the older first generation drugs, vulnerable, susceptible patients, perhaps on a genetic basis, may still get tardive dyskinesia with the newer drugs. There's no question about it. And what's also troubling is because of expansive marketing and expanding indications of the newer drugs, there are a lot more people who are actually treated.
Mood disorders, even anxiety disorders, actually.
Correct. And sometimes not well justified, but there's a much larger population of people today who are being exposed to antipsychotic drugs. And so even though the risk is less proportionally, there are fewer patients who might get it.
The numbers are bigger.
The absolute number may still be significant. So I think the take-home message is that even though the newer drugs are probably less likely to cause tardive dyskinesia, any patient who's treated with any antipsychotic drug with dopamine receptor blocking properties has some risk of tardive dyskinesia. We all have to be aware of that.
So anybody who's a psychopharmacologist or prescribing antipsychotic medications must be trained in identifying tardive dyskinesia, diagnosing it, and knowing how to manage it, right? That's a requirement.
That's correct. Even beyond psychopharmacologists, anyone, you know, today a lot of primary care doctors and others prescribe antipsychotic drugs for a variety of reasons. So anyone who's prescribing antipsychotic drugs really need to be aware of the need to look for tardive dyskinesia and know what to do about it.